Our lesson today comes from Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Hear God's word. God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went out to greet the bridegroom. 5 were silly and 5 were smart. The silly virgins took lamps, but no extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they all fell asleep. In the middle of the night, someone yelled out, "He's here! The bridegroom's here! Go out and greet him!" And the 10 virgins got up, and they got their lamps ready. And the silly virgins said to the smart ones, "Our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil." And they answered, "There might not be enough to go around. Go buy your own." Well, they did, but while they were out buying oil, the bridegroom arrived, and when everyone who was there to greet him had gone into the wedding feast, the door was locked. Much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up and knocked on the door, saying, "Master, we're here. Let us in." And he answered, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you." So stay alert, friends. You have no idea when he might arrive. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those freaks who really likes to be prepared for everything. It's been a while since we've had some bad storms, but we sure have been seeing them pop up everywhere else, haven't we? So when I saw this clever little gizmo, and not only clever, but marked down in price, I thought, I gotta check this out. I mean, okay, this is so cool. It's got a flashlight, okay, we need flashlights. It has a radio, AM, FM, an emergency radio with the antenna to help in reception. And what's really cool about it is that you can pre-charge it by sticking into, electrical socket and all. But if you don't have power, it's got a solar panel. So you can put it out in the sun and charge it that way. And if it's nighttime or that's not working right, it's got the crank. And you can crank it up, right? So it's got all these different ways. And on top of that, it also has the capability, if it's charged, where you can use it to charge your phone. It does everything. You can even drop it and it bounces, which I showed you earlier during our prayer, right? It feels good to be prepared. Of course, you can't get overconfident in those things. I was reading about this guy who felt really, really proud of himself because he had gone out. There was a big storm coming in, and he had gone out, and he was so prepared. He wanted to be safe in his home, and the power ended up failing, but he was good with that because as night fell, he just lit up some of his oil lamps, and he placed his Coleman camping stove right on top of his electric stove so that he could just go ahead and fix his dinner. He had a wonderful dinner that evening, and he was sort of patting himself on the back for how wise he was to be ready and be prepared, where he could just, whatever happened, he was on top of it. Well, in the meantime, the linemen were out working diligently all night long trying to get the power up and going, and they did a great job. And so in the middle of the night, before dawn, all the appliances in his house were working again, including the electric stove. I think you probably know what happened next. It turns out he left out a rather important detail. The stove was on. He had forgotten to turn it off. And so when the power came back on, it just, everything blew up. $65,000 worth of damage to his home from one little tiny mistake. Now, thankfully, he's still alive. He shut the door to his bedroom and he was okay. He survived it. But things didn't go as planned. And you and I both know that even when we try to plan well on things, things can go wrong. Now, there are those that see this message as kind of a warning by Jesus to the Jews of his day, that they should have been prepared for Jesus' coming, but were not. Others see it as a parable of Jesus that was reworked by Matthew to be used about the conflict between first century Christians and hostile Jews during that time. And then there are still others that see it as a reference by Jesus to his second coming, and to be prepared for that, at which time those who are ready to will join Jesus, and those who aren't will be shut out. And while any or all of these might be correct, we kind of need to remember that it's easy to kind of confuse ourselves and get lost in parables when we're trying to go too deep in our analysis. And there's actually a rather simple message in here, and that is that whatever we want to do or be, we need to prepare. And we can't just wait till some future date to do it. As a pastor visiting people at different stages of their life, I run into a lot of people with regrets. Now, certainly, we all have our experiences, and hopefully we learn from them. Hopefully they're things that point us in the right direction, help us to get on track. I know in my own life that some of my most difficult and most painful experiences helped me the most and helped me to open myself up to God in a way I couldn't before. It forced me to trust Him in a new way. It forced me to realize that there is nothing more important in my life than relying on God and serving Him and finding ways to actually live out my faith. But that can be a struggle. And people go through all kinds of things as they're trying to find their way. And we just don't know what it is that we're supposed to do. And we can just be like the folks who kind of just hear what we want to hear and put off things. Kind of like the story that Erskine White tells about. He says, I went to the hardware store the other day to buy a new snow shovel because we were all told about a storm that was coming in that night. Needless to say, I was not alone. Anybody else ever been through that experience? You hear about a storm coming in, you think, oh my goodness, my old shovel's not going to work. I better get down there and pick up a few things, right? And you and everyone else in the world decides to show up at the same time, right? Well, apparently that's what happened in his experience as well. And so as he stood in line, he thought of this particular story. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 people who sat down one night to watch the evening news. And before long, the all-wise, all-knowing, and always accurate weatherman appeared on the TV set and spoke. Behold, he said, the first snowstorm of the year approaches, so be prepared. At midnight it shall be upon you, and in the morning there shall be whiteness on the ground which shall reach up to your knees. Thus says your weatherman. 5 of the 10 people were prepared, so they sat comfortably in their homes and watched the rest of the news. But the other 5 were not prepared. So they set out. They had no shovels. They wondered where they had left their winter gloves. They jumped into their cars and raced to the store with money in hand, desperately hoping they could lay an offering upon the altar of the cash register and get a shovel in return. But behold, they were too late. The door to the store was locked. The gods of commerce would accept no more offerings until the morning. And the 5 people went home and asked their neighbors, you have a shovel I can borrow? And their neighbor said, no, I don't. I only have one and I'll be using it tomorrow. The snow approaches and you paid no attention to the day or the hour. You should have been prepared. Well, of course, one of the questions that come to us is, how prepared can we be? One of the things that's helped me over the years is to take a step back, to actually look at bad experience after bad experience and say, what might I have done differently? To actually look at myself honestly, my failures honestly, the hurt places honestly, and to actually think about what I could do differently. And here's the funny thing. When there are lessons we don't learn, similar situations tend to keep popping up. Because God wants us to have the opportunity to learn from those mistakes. So when we can look at our lives and look at those dark spots, interesting things come up. One of the things I realized was how impulsive I could be on different things. So I realized that there were certain situations in my life that were predictable. Certain things that were going to push my buttons, certain things that were going to get an impulsive response, certain things that were going to make me react. But what would happen if I made a list of those situations? And with each one where I tend to make a mistake, if I thought about what might be a different solution. Like one of the things that I continually do is to say yes to everything and then be kicking myself later when I overextend myself. So during that time, what would happen, I asked myself, if I made a rule for myself that I must wait 3 days before I give an answer, even if I think I know what the answer is. If I tell the person asking me, you know what, I would love to do that, but I'm going to need to get back to you. Changed my life. It was a way to be prepared so that I could be wise about my time, recognizing that my time was a resource and that I wasn't doing people a favor by saying yes if I wasn't the one to be saying yes. There were times when I would find myself angry about things. So I asked myself, okay, what would happen if instead of responding in anger, that I could take a moment and just say, listen, we need to talk about this another time. And what if I gave myself that space to think about it and to think about what a solution might be? But with a calm head, a calm mind. What about situations where I would dash off and not plan things? In my work down at the seminary, working for so many years in the AV department, where there would be certain things, like we would have lots of last minute requests. And I talked to my staff and I said, we know that these particular people in the seminary community are going to ask us to provide these services at these times, and they are going to forget to tell us, right? I said, well, yeah. And I said, so why don't we recognize that and reach out to them in advance so that we can get it on our calendars? Yeah, but that would be kind of giving in to who they are, and that would be, you know, nope. Let's back up and let's think about this a little bit. Who is really hurt and who is really helped if we take the initiative? And what happens if we have as part of our policy, if we say, hey, we need to know a minimum of 5 days before your event. And then we have the option of then choosing if we can or cannot, if they get their request in late. I mean, these are little practical examples, but I share practical daily life examples because our choices impact the way we live our lives. And choices that may not seem like necessarily religious choices or, you know, choices that have to do with our faith actually do. Because the way we respond to everyday things reflect who we are at our core as God's people. And when we think things through and we plan things through and we look at a bigger picture, it puts us in a position to be able to be more faithful in our faith. It gives us an opportunity to be more loving, to be more kind, to be more generous. Think about just even in terms of our planning day to day. Those of us who are continually watching sales and our discipline in our purchases, that allows us to be more generous, doesn't it? We're then in a position where we can freely and more comfortably give generously. And as Stacy and I were talking about this morning, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is the greatest gift we can give ourselves is giving to others. But it's the thinking through these things. It's not just listening to the things that we want to hear or want to believe. It's looking at the hard facts. It's looking at the realities. It's recognizing that there are going to be tough things coming into our lives. And can we prepare for all of them? No. But can we map out our life in a way that helps us to be faithful? Yes. Can we take time to think things through? Can we look at ourselves and find the areas where we need to grow? Can we see where we're making repeat errors and where we can shift and change? So much of what we do in our lives is on impulse. But when we're really focused on God, and we're continually asking ourselves how we can live faithful to Him, it changes everything. That's the kind of preparation that can really bring joy into our lives, but also into the lives of others. Let's not wait, okay? Let's not wait down the road to be faithful Christians. Let's start living it right now. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all the many ways you bless us, even when we're lost, even when we're confused. And we pray that you would guide us, that you would help us to dive in now, to open our eyes to see ways we can improve, and help us to be mindful, and help us to plan and think ahead. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.